Everybody faces trials. Everybody has resistance. You know, life is just made out of resistance. Best thing ever happened to you is resistance. Everybody, oh, I hate resistance. Everything's resisting me. Good. That shows you're not a turtle. You're a human being. Human beings can handle resistance, troubles, problems, difficulties, afflictions. Did you know that they were designed by God? Did you know that? They're good for you. I mean, you know, if a turtle comes up against the wall, that's it. That's the end of that. But not you and me. That's where we turn to something else. You know, when you come up against a wall, a brick wall in your life, you know, a difficulty, a problem, you start praising the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good. I got a wall here. Why? Because turtles don't know how good God is, but you do. You know that your father thought that thing out a long time before you ran into it. Everything in your life has been organized, designed, set up for you to win. Do you all know that? Do you know that there aren't any problems out there that are problems? There are no problems that are problems. Did you all know that? None. Everything's going your way. Everything's on your side. Now, this is a new way of thinking. I mean, I say it all the time, but I don't think you've all got it yet. That, and then one of the ways you test yourself is get into a trouble. You have to hunt for them, of course. Try to find one if you can. You get into a trouble and see there's a difference between you and a turtle, a grasshopper, a butterfly. You're not a turtle. You're not bounded by, you know, the law of preservation. You're not bounded by that. That's natural. But you got something more going for you, right? Here's why you know you're special. God gave you a command. He never commanded the turtle. He never commanded him. Now, you try to be a good turtle today. Never commanded turtles. But he commanded you. That gives you liberty right there. Every command creates a right, and every right necessitates a liberty. If God tells me to do something, then I have to be able to do it. So it gives me a right to do it against you. I have a right against everybody in the world, including God. If he tells me to do something, then I have a right to do it, and he can't stop me, and neither can anyone else. So therefore, I have a liberty to do what I have a right to do. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? So the best thing you have in life is commands. When you're a little kid, you don't want to have commands. You don't like laws and rules. You like to play. You like to tease. You like to be lawless, free, open, you see. And you think, when I get big, I'll marry who I want. I'll eat what I want. I'll go when I want. I'll sleep when I want. I'll watch what I want. You think so? You're wrong. Completely wrong. There are rules everywhere. Laws everywhere. Maturity is not being free. Maturity is learning that you're never free. There are rules and laws for everything. It's just whether you want to do them voluntarily or, you know, not voluntarily. So God has set everything up for you to win. Your best shot is to get under all the law you can possibly get under. Find as much law, as much rules, as much problems, troubles, difficulties as you can possibly find. Amen? Now, everyone else is wrong. But I'm right. Where did I get that idea? Out of the book. I read the Bible. I read that in the Bible. I see that troubles are what people don't want, but I see that God wants troubles. He wants you to have troubles. In the world, Jesus said, you have troubles. Well, so you must want them. Be of good cheer. He put troubles and good cheer together. We always put troubles and good cheer separate. We always think, well, you know, it was a good day. I didn't have any troubles. What? That's not a good day. It's an awful day. It's a good day. I had 1,000 troubles. Yahoo! Why? Because you're made for overcoming. You're an overcomer. You're not like the turtle. You're not like the grasshopper. You're not like the butterfly. You're not like a tree or a rock or a cloud. You've been made like God in his image and likeness. You think God faces troubles? No, he knows how to overcome anything. He always wins. He always wins. And he loves to have a devil. That's why he made the guy. Boo. You know, he made him. See, the devil is not another god or equal to God or anything like that. He's just a creature. And God left him in the world. I'd have kicked him out, you know. If I was going to create people, I wouldn't have had a devil. I wouldn't have done that. But God has rules and laws for people because he knows you're free to either break the law or keep it. How many know that God wants you to keep the law? All the laws. Gravity. Do y'all keep the law of gravity? That's why you're not flying up through the ceiling and bumping against it. You know, you're sitting on a chair because of gravity. Chair is sitting on the ground because of gravity. That's a law. You can't escape it. I think today I'll float. You can't. You can't do it. Has anybody ever tried that? You just can't. You can't. You can't. If you jump up, you don't stay up. You go down again. That's gravity. Well, there are spiritual laws. There are social laws, economic laws, laws everywhere. Every muscle in your body has a law. Every eye, every molecule in the eye has a law. Everything in the world has a law. It's a rule. You know, it can only work this way. It can't work that way. But man has the freedom to break the law. No turtle ever broke the law. I think today I'll tell a joke. No turtle has ever told a joke. It's never gone up to one turtle and said, hey, did you hear the one about, you know, never has happened. You realize what freedom you have? You could tell a joke. He can't. No dog has ever said, you know, remember last week? They don't talk like that. No, they don't talk like that. You see, you're unique among all creation. You're like God. And you could know good and evil. No animal does. Alligator bites your leg off. He wasn't evil. He's just doing what alligators do. That's the law of the alligator. Eat. He doesn't know the difference between a human leg and a fish. He doesn't know the difference. You naughty alligator, you ate my leg off. He's just doing what alligators do. Sometimes a mother in Africa has lost a baby that way. The baby somehow falls out and the alligator sees it going down the bank and goes and eats it up. Was the alligator bad? It's just the law of the jungle. It's the way it is. Many a little monkey, you know, playing along the the bank there, falls into the water or falls down the bank. Immediately the crocodile goes and gets him. That's just the way it is. And then, you know, dog eat dog, so on. That's the way life is. Y'all following me so far? So everything in this world has a law to it. Your spirit has a law. Your soul has a law. Your body has a law. You got to eat. You got to sleep. Those are laws. You don't have to go to church. There's no law there. You don't have to come. And a whole bunch of people didn't. Here's some people. They didn't come. This road didn't come. This road didn't come. This road didn't come. I can't believe it. Why would they want to miss? Great message. Why would they want to miss hearing God? Well, they have their reasons. But you know what? They're free. Since they're free, they can cheat. Not go and hear God. But I think it would have been better if they'd come here. I think it's better to hear God's word. But you know what? Some laws cannot be altered or changed, but other laws give you the freedom to do what you want. Isn't that interesting? There are some laws, like gravity, you cannot resist it. Oh, I know, you can fly in an airplane. But even an airplane flies according to the laws of gravity. Isn't that funny? You fly planes. Actually, planes work on gravity. It looks like they're not. It looks like they're lifting up. That's like being in the water and floating. You know, it just appears to be. But gravity's still working. It keeps the water down rather than floating up. Everything stays within laws. But there are certain things which you have more freedom than any turtle. Now, a turtle has more freedom than a flower. How many flowers get up on the west side of the house, walk over to the right side? You know, it doesn't happen. Flowers just don't walk around. So a dog obviously has a lot more freedom. So animals have more motion, more motive. They can motor about, and flowers can. And flowers than rocks and so on. At least a flower can wave, but rocks don't wave. they don't wave. So everything has its rules and laws, but you have the most freedom of all creation. Amen? And because you have this moral code that no animal has and no tree, because you have this moral code and a religious code too, a law, a rule, you actually don't have to do them. God can say, do this, and you don't have to do it. But no animal's ever done that to God. I don't think today I'll be a frog. A frog has to be a frog. I know what I'm saying is stupid, but that's because you don't know how to think. I want you to think right. All laws are written for your good, for your benefit. Everything else in the world has these rigid laws. For example, all animals are biologically determined. In other words, they don't say jokes. Joke is not biological. They don't have a memory. They don't have any, they have a small kind of memory, but they just operate by instinct, rules, laws. They don't have to learn it. You know, like the mother bear teaches the baby bear how to go and find berries or something. But animals are just instinctual. Man has the freedom to write books. No animals ever teach their kids by saying, hey, look at this TV program or read this book. They just don't do that kind of thing. We're creative, amen? Do you see the difference between you and the whole rest of the world? What a blessing. What a blessing. By the way, I appreciate you coming because this row was almost empty. But thanks be unto God. It's good. That God will supply. Isn't that amazing? God's a supplier. Now, Job went through trials and troubles. What is the trial? The trial is whether you'll get outside the line or stay inside the line, whether you'll break the law or keep the law. That's it. That's the trial. That's the tribulation. That's the test. That's the affliction. Now, here is a problem that Job had with his pals, his friends, whom he liked. By the way, these are friends of his. Later prayed for him, and they became his friends again. They thought God can't afflict a righteous person. Therefore, that's the general premise. God is just, and he can't afflict righteous people. He has to reward the righteous, and he has to afflict the bad, right? That's reasonable. That is reasonable. That makes sense. God rewards the good, punishes the bad. That makes sense. Even God has to agree with that. But Job came up with a conundrum, a problem, a difficulty. He was saying this: even though God is just, and even though he rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked, there are times, saith Job, that the righteous suffer, and that God, who is just and fair, will afflict someone who hasn't done anything wrong. They never heard of such a thing. That is stupid, Job. The reason, look at here, looky, looky, looky. Looky here. You are afflicted, you must be evil. How many know that when you have a trouble, that's the first thought comes into your own head? I wonder if this is God punishing me for doing something wrong. Why did I have this car accident today? Why did the doctor give me this bad report? I bet I did something wrong. There's a law. I must have broke the law. Job said, no, I've kept all the laws, and God's afflicting me, but even though he's afflicting me, I know I'm innocent and righteous, and I know someday it'll all work out. If not in this world, then in the next. Whoa, there's a thought. That's a different kind of thought, that the righteous could suffer in this world and be afflicted by God, but it's not permanent. It's not forever. Now, Job was right on. Job was right on. That a father that loves his son chastens him. It could be that God sometimes uses difficulties in your life to bless you. No, not sometimes, all the time. All the time. Even if it's an enemy. Even if it's Adolf Hitler. I don't care who it is. I don't care whose fault it is. Why worry about Adolf Hitler? Why worry about other people's sins? Why worry about your husband doing wrong? Why worry about your wife? Why worry about your kids? Why worry about your pastor? Who cares about people doing wrong? The only thing I want to know is if God loves me. I don't really care if people do wrong. Let them do wrong. I do wrong. They do wrong. We all do wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who's worried about that? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? What's the problem? You see, I believe God is good, and that settles everything. I must believe God's good. I don't believe anything could ever happen to me to harm me. I just believe God's good. I believe that even if I face troubles, difficulties, trials, tribulations, it'll turn out for my good. Now, I'm telling you, there's nobody here believes that. You got to have faith to believe in that. Because your natural reason and your natural conscience will tell you, you know, when things go wrong, there must be something wrong with you. You're getting this because you deserve it. There's something inside of us that thinks that way. And so Job had this problem with his friends, and he was saying, you know, I've always done right, and God always has rewarded me, but recently I'm still doing everything right, but he's punishing me and afflicting me. And they said, that's because you didn't do right. We nailed you, buddy. And so his first three friends, Eliphaz and company, the first three friends said this, you know, I think I know what it is. He's probably gone into the house of the idols at some point. He's an idolater. That's what it is. So God's getting him for that. Or maybe it's because he's an idolater and also he's done some immoral things. He's probably immoral. And not only that, maybe he's an idolater who's immoral, but he's also unjust. He doesn't always treat his servants right. Sometimes he cheats them and doesn't pay them right. I'll bet he's done something wrong like that. And they were trying to nail him. Because obviously he's guilty of something. When somebody's going through hell and troubles and problems, you feel sorry for him for a few minutes, but then you begin to think about it. Well, I wonder if they've done something wrong. And that's the same thing you do to yourself. You know, this thing ain't going away. First I thought it was the devil attacking me. Now I'm beginning to think it's God. If it goes away right away and you say something like this, devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus, and then it goes away, you know it was just the devil. But what if it doesn't go away? Now, it sounds like God. So that's the thing with troubles, when they keep going, you think to yourself, gee, why didn't my marriage work? Why aren't my kids behaving? Why is my body not working? Why are the finances not there? Why? We have all these whys, you know, about the stuff that really matters. Wealth, health, relationships. Those are the biggies. Those are the biggies that people care about. There's trillions and trillions of dollars spent on those items. Relationships, people will pay plenty. I had somebody call up the other day and say, now, what do you charge for counseling? What'd your last person charge? $125 an hour. Wow, is that all? It's a bargain. You got a bargain there. No, I mean, they were horrified. You going to charge more than that? Let's see. I'll double what I usually charge in your case. What do you charge? Zero. Well, I know, but I'm not a member of your church. Zero. Zero. So people are used to certain rules and laws and expectations and so on. But you know, with God, freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Do you all understand? You don't owe me anything. You can't give me anything. I don't want anything. Now, don't get the idea that you get all your friends to call me up. No, because he's cheap. The guy's cheap. Oh, it's good. Yeah, I can't charge. God hasn't charged me, so I can't charge you. Did you all understand? The only reason you give is because you're supposed to. I didn't tell you to give. I don't care if you give or you don't give. I wouldn't even know it if you did. I've never looked at the books in my life, ever. At any time, I've never looked at the books. I have no idea who gives or who doesn't give, how much they give or how much they don't give. I have no idea. Otherwise, I might be a respecter of persons. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody doesn't give or does give. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't want any guarantees. I don't want any knowledge. I don't want to know. I don't want to count. I don't have lists. Hello? Why? Well, bogs you down. You have to think about all that. I might be human enough to think about that. So this way, I have no knowledge. I just keep going. I just think God's good. So I don't really worry about how many people we have or how much money's coming in or what it looks like or what people are saying or what they're accusing you of or what they're imagining. I really don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks or says or does. I am totally at home in this wicked, evil, nasty world, which the Bible says it is. I'm totally at home in it. I like a wicked, nasty, evil, dark world. That's the one I got. And I feel my God is good, and that makes up for everything else. I don't care about a bad marriage. I don't care about bad parents. I don't care about dysfunctional families. I don't care about a church that doesn't appreciate me. It doesn't interest me. It's of no interest at all. Isn't that interesting? To not be interested in that which interests everybody? It doesn't interest me. Why? I read it in the book. It said, do not care. Don't ever care. Isn't that interesting that I don't have to care about anything? I can be carefree, free of care. Take no thought for the morrow. Amazing. Don't take any thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't be burdened down. Don't be worried about anything. Everything's going my way. All I know every day is everything's going my way. Do y'all have that down? Everything's going my way. Everything always works together for the good of them. I read that in the book. I read that in the book. Now, what would happen if a person literally believed that? What if somebody said, you know, I know it says that. I think I'll apply that to my life. What would happen if I never worried? Be ye not anxious. Doesn't it say that? But we're all worriers. And if we don't worry, we worry about not worrying. We just can't imagine not worrying about everything. Amen? Right? That's why we take medicines and stuff. I don't take anything. I don't care about it. You say, well, Pastor, maybe you'll die someday. Good. Get to go home. That's part of the deal, too. I don't expect to live forever. 67, I'm getting near the end. You know, maybe another 40, 50 years. I don't know. I think I'm getting near the, I think I'm over the hill now. I'm heading down the other side of the hill. I just can't believe I made it this far. But I guess you get 70, so I got another 3 years to go. But after that, you just live on the edge. No, I've been living on the edge ever since I was born. You never know when you're going to live or die. You don't know. You don't know when an accident's going to happen or, you know, whether you get a disease or whatever. You don't know any of that stuff. Somebody will shoot you. It's immaterial to me. I don't really care. Every day I'm finished. Every day it's over. Every day I'm completely content, happy. I don't care what I haven't done or have done. I'm not a performer who cares about his performance. Amen? Do y'all see what I'm saying? Is anybody getting any of this? This is good stuff. It's good stuff. Now, I'm still talking about Job. Job had all these trials. He had physical problems. He had mental problems. He had emotional problems. He had relational problems. He had problems. Now, one of his biggest problems, he's got these four pals, friends. Three of them are convinced that he's committed a sin and that's why he's being afflicted. And he insists they're wrong. The fourth one figures out, wait a minute, I don't think Job has committed all those sins you're talking about, especially idolatry and so on. I do think, however, he does have a problem with God. I think he's saying he's innocent and therefore he thinks God's guilty. Because if you're innocent, God can't afflict you, and he's obviously being afflicted. He even admits it. So therefore, I would say he's accusing God of not being just. He's thinking to himself, you know, these problems have all happened, and it isn't my sin. It's God who has sinned. God's doing the sinning. Isn't that funny? What, you know, see, that is a tremendous, I see how Elihu, who speaks for God, that's what his name means, Elihu. Eli in Hebrew, that means God. Who means himself, God himself. So Elihu says to him, those other three fellows, they're wrong about all the sins and stuff. I'll tell you what your sin is. It's not what they're saying at all. Here's what it is. You're accusing God of not being righteous. You're saying you're more righteous than God is. You're saying that he's afflicting you and he has no right to do it. That's wrong. You're accusing God. Job never said that. So Elihu is a liar. He said Job said that he was innocent and God was guilty. Job never said that. He just said he was innocent. Yeah, but it's the same thing. If you say you're innocent, then who is guilty? Someone's afflicting you, and you know it's God, so you must be saying God is guilty. I'll tell you, that's the way we all think. I mean, sometimes in your life, you just think to yourself, my God, have I done so much wrong that this is happening to me? God, I hate to say it, but I think this time it's you. It can't always be me. Am I always wrong? Other people seem to be rotten to the core, and they're doing fine. But me, I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've gone to church. I've even attended Pastor Jim's lessons. How can things be going wrong? I even Yahoo at times. I don't see it. And people begin to think, God, I guess God's just getting you. He isn't arbitrary either. He's getting you for some reason. So God must be wrong. No, God's not wrong. Job never said he was wrong. But Elihu says he said. I know he's a liar. Elihu is a liar. Somebody says, no, he's the best of all of his friends. Of the four friends, he's the best. He even mentions the gospel and mercy and forgiveness and so on. No, I think he's the best. He's the most Christian of them all. No, he's the worst, actually. The worst. The others were bad, but they're kind of simple, natural, you know, just reasonable fellows. But you know what? Reason is worthless. I'll just tell you something. Here's what's wrong about reason. Reason, when it tries to reason something out, if it reasons long enough, it'll come to the opposite reason of the one it just reasoned. Has anybody ever found that out? Say, I'm going to think this thing through. And when you're all done, you still can't figure it. Well, I think I should divorce her. Well, I think she loves me. Well, I think I should marry her. But I got things on both sides. Well, there's all these reasons to think I should go ahead and put this investment in. But on the other hand, maybe I should stay liquid. But on the other hand, and reason can never come to finality. Has anybody ever discovered that? I don't know if I should get married. I don't know if I should live in Dallas. I don't know, you know, I don't know what I should do. Because reason can never establish it. So even though God gave you reason, and it's perfectly reasonable, so is the opposite perfectly reasonable. And therefore, I can never figure it out. Are there one gods or 50? Or three? And reason can come up with all kinds of reasons for why it sounds reasonable to say there are 50. Or a million. Or a billion. Or one. Or three. So reason can't help me. No matter what, I just can't get anywhere with my reason. Unaided natural reason is not enough to get you anywhere. But God gave it to me. So, the fact that he gave it to you, what does that mean? Well, then it must be sufficient. It is sufficient. For example, you could say, do you want apple pie or cherry? And see, now reason is enough. Cherry. But as soon as you eat it, after a few bites, you begin to think to yourself, maybe I should have taken the apple. It's funny. You get chocolate ice cream, maybe I should have gotten the strawberry. You know, no matter what happens in life, you're never satisfied. It's always, well, I dated Marianne, but maybe it should have been Alice. I married Bob, but maybe I should have married Ted. You know, you never know, because reason's not enough. Has anybody ever figured that out? That as smart as you are, you're stupid. As smart as you are, you're really very stupid. Isn't that funny? That's funny. So God gave you reason, yes, but it's not enough. It's not enough to get you to know anything that you really want to know. Like, where did I come from? Reason doesn't know. Where am I going? Reason doesn't know. Why am I here? Reason doesn't know. Isn't that interesting? All the interesting things reason cannot figure out. It's not reasonable to go outside without a raincoat. Reason's okay there. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's not reasonable. It's raining. Give me an umbrella. Give me a raincoat. Okay, that was reasonable, but it's not too interesting. I mean, that is not really the fullness of life. So you see, even though reason is roughly speaking, okay. It's not enough to answer anything interesting, like who do I marry? What should I invest? What should I do with my time? Ah, there, reason fails me. All the important things in life need something more than reason. Because reason's never certain about anything. Even the things it's roughly certain about, it's only roughly certain. For example, before Einstein, physicists used to think that time and space were not bended. Einstein came along and he bent them. You know, and everybody thought that was unreasonable. But then, after that, people began to think, well, maybe that is better. And if you'll look at all the big things in life, you'll see that there's always people on both sides. There are always people that feel that the whole world is changing. Then there are other people that feel the whole world never changes. Isn't that funny? And reason can't kind of like settle that. You can always have a debate. Reason just keeps debating and debating and debating, and it never comes to a conclusion. Which president is a good one? And, you know, you just can't figure it. You look at the lineup and you go, well, he's probably better than he is, at least on this point. But then on that point, he's probably not. I wish we had a candidate we could reasonably agree upon. Now, Hillary might be good if you want a woman president, or if you wanted to have someone who
turn the tape off.
But you know what? We can't really figure it out. And I have no idea what America's going to do. I don't think anybody does. I mean, there are people that say they do, but they're lying. We don't know if it's going to be Obama or Hillary or what's that other guy? Some guy from the, what is his name? I don't know, that younger trial lawyer guy. Whatever his name is.
Edwards.
Yeah. Jonathan Edwards, is that his name?
No.
Something. John Edwards? Yeah. John Edwards. Okay. Well, maybe it'll be any one of those. And then we got a whole Humpty Dumpty set of all kinds of people. And so who can figure it? I tell you, reason is not enough. No matter how reasonable you think you are, you don't know. And you have no idea that there are people on the opposite side who don't agree with you at all. And I think they're unreasonable. You know, why would you want to be a Democrat? You should be a Republican. Why would you want to be a Republican? You should be a Democrat. You know, on and on and on and on and on and on. I should be a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a, you know, people just don't know. Now people want to be Muslims. I didn't ever think that was reasonable. But now all of a sudden, that's reasonable to certain people. A billion of them to them. So I think they must be idiots who think like that. Tying bombs to your body and blowing yourself up and some other folks, I don't know, doesn't seem reasonable to me. In fact, I'm sure it's not. But who knows? And so you can't persuade people. You can't go around punching people, knocking them down, just because you think they're unreasonable. Reason has reasons always against reasons. So reason is obviously not. What about moral conscience? I know there's a right and wrong, but how do I know what right is or what wrong is? Now, I don't need my reason here. I have my conscience. And my conscience just knows that was wrong. You hit her. I just know that's wrong. Okay, there it is. But how do I know? In all situations, my conscience is not big enough, tall enough, to sort out everything. How many of you can blunt your conscience? You know what you're doing is wrong? No. I think what I'm doing is good. I think what's wrong, you know. And people will justify anything. They can want what they want. And even though they have a conscience, they might not listen to it, or maybe they did listen to it. But that doesn't mean it's right. Some people do wrong and have no conscience. I was one of those. I could do wrong without a conscience at all. I never heard my conscience. Beep, beep. I never heard it. If I had it, it was on, batteries were out or something. I never heard them. Hello? Now, what you need is divine revelation. What you need is the Word of God. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Reason and conscience, which is common to all men, is not enough to teach you about God. or give you the truth or make you happy. Did you know that people in this world can never be happy? Ever. Has anybody tried it? You tried to get happy by being reasonable. It doesn't work. You tried to be happy by following your conscience or not following your conscience, obeying the law or not obeying the law, being licentious or being legalistic. None of them work. In the end, people that obey the law are unhappy, and people that disobey the law are only momentarily happy, but then after a while they get depressed. They're manic, up and down and up and down. It's just one cigarette today, I need five tomorrow, and so on and so forth. You just never can solve it. So God has set up the world in such a way that you have to be tested and tried to see whether your decisions are good, whether your reasons are reasonable. So Job is thinking this thing through. I think I'm righteous, and God is afflicting me. It's not the devil. The devil may be the instrument, but God had to allow it because he's God. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty. So Job never mentions in the book, as I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, the name of God, which is Yahweh, Jehovah. He never brings that up in the book. The only two names he really uses are Elohim, the creator. God is the lawmaker, ruler, and judge. Or he uses El Shaddai. Now, El Shaddai, he learned from Abraham. So that shows that Job at least has knowledge of Abraham's revelation from God. So now he has his reason, but he also has some revelation. You remember what God said to Abraham? I will. 7 I wills. Those I wills are obligations on God's part, not prompted by man at all, not prompted by Abraham, just God self-decided, all by his lonesome self. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. He didn't make it conditional like, if you're good. That would have been no good, and Abraham wouldn't have bought that. He would not have bought that. If you're good, I will bless you. Nope, he didn't say that. He just said, I'll bless you. What? Isn't that amazing? How many live that way? Just live totally by promises made by God. I do. I don't live by his laws and his rules. I don't. If I ever kept a rule or a law of God, it was a miracle. I mean, I would have to be dead to do it. That was a double entendre. I would have to be dead to do it. Precisely what the Christian life is all about. You have to die to yourself. So I would never want to keep God's laws. I like to be free. I like to go outside the lines. I like to be licentious and rotten and selfish and nasty and so on. I just love to be lawless. Did anybody know in the Bible the lawless one is Satan? I'm satanic by nature. But thanks be unto God, he came along and saw me, a licentious person, a out-of-the-line person, not keeping the rules, ungovernable, unrestrained, uninhibited, unrestricted guy. And he said to me, I love you. Me? Really? I couldn't believe it. And I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that God would love me. I never did anything right. And even if he loved me, I wasn't going to about to do anything right. I wasn't going to help him even after he gave me something. Just give it to me and I'll take it. I wasn't appreciative at all. Did you know that Jesus died on the cross for you? Good. I mean, that doesn't affect me. I don't care what he did. That's his problem. But he did it for you. Okay, great. So what do I get? I'm still only thinking of me. I never thought of Jesus. I never came to Jesus because I wanted to help him out or do something nice. I came to him to get what I could get. Now, what's your offer? What's the deal? Well, I'm going to give you eternal life and I'll forgive you all your sins. Okay, cool. But I didn't have any appreciation in me. I wasn't like deeply broken over that. It was just like, good. So when I sin, I don't have to go to hell? That's right. Woohoo! I mean, to me, that was just good. Now I have a free ticket. I can just sin all I want. I don't have to stay within the lines. Nope. You can't. That's, you made a good point right there. I am not a good... Are you like I am? I just heard you laughing, so I wondered if you are just like me. You just can't stay within the lines. Lawless. Another buddy of mine. I like that. Is anybody else here like that? Lawless. You just have that little desire to just please yourself. Isn't that funny? Whereas God's rule is, you know, always take care of other people, always serve God, you know, and there's nothing left for you. What a bummer. I mean, that would not be fun at all. Live for others? Goody. It doesn't interest me at all. Take for myself. Ah, now that sounds right. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So it'd be a miracle if I would ever accept God's offer, unless it was one-sided. Jim, no matter what, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Cool. What if I sin? Still won't. What if I sin 2 times? Still won't. 6? Still won't. 100? 490? That's all you get. You just get that many. Isn't that every day, I think? Get those every day. 490 sins a day. I usually get those over in the first hour. So after that, it's pretty risky. I just really believe God loves me. And you know what? That's kind of ruined my natural get-out-of-the-lines personality. You know, take care of myself, only think of myself. I'm just natural at that. But when I met Jesus, I see he never got out of the lines, ever. He always obeyed every rule, every law. He didn't even break the Roman laws. He never even double parked. It's amazing to me. He didn't do anything wrong. He was perfect. Well, that's not like me at all. I'm a not perfect person. Is there anybody else like me? I'm a not perfect person. Even when I pray, I might not be wholehearted. Even when I worship God, I might be thinking of how neat my worship is. You know, I'll be worshiping God and I'll think, this is really genuine and pure and beautiful. And I'll be impressed with myself. It's awful, isn't it? I can't even have a worship time, and I know it's God, without taking a little pride for myself or something. I want someone to at least notice. Did you see how genuine I was there for about 3 seconds? You know, it's just amazing. Anybody else like that? I ruin everything I touch. If I offer somebody a word and I know it's from God, and they thank me, I feel like I wish other people could hear that. it just pops into my head. I'm trying to stay humble about it. Oh, don't thank me, thank God. But what I'm really thinking and feeling is, yes, I was a blessing. Isn't that awful? It's terrible. You see, I ruin everything. Everything I touch, I just ruin it. Now, Job was going through all these problems. And what I love about this is it's so supple, so subtle, so intricate here. What he's doing is he hadn't committed sins, like they said. In fact, he denied it. I have not committed any sins. Now, remember, he doesn't know the law of Moses. He doesn't know Yahweh. So he's not reading the Ten Commandments here. Doesn't even know about them. All he has is the law written on his heart, like everybody does. And he's heard about Abraham's faith, El Shaddai. Okay, so those are the only two things he has going for him. Now, that's as much as he knows. But he doesn't know the Ten Commandments. He doesn't know the Proverbs. He doesn't know all those things. So all he knows is what's going on in the culture around him, plus a little bit of Abraham. So he has his reason. He has his conscience, like all men. But he also has a little bit of knowledge of God. And the ways that I know that is because this book wouldn't have been written if he just had no revelation or knowledge. Now, most of you grew up totally pagan. When you were 1 and 2 and 3, you were just pagan. You were just a heathen. All you had was your reason and natural knowledge, and you learned slowly about Jesus. You learned slowly about the gospel. And the gospel is all about that if you do sin, you can say you're sorry, and God will not only forgive you, but then you can pray for the Holy Spirit, and He'll come and help you so that you can do good. So God is saying, be perfect. And even little kids at 1.5, no, they're not. And at 2, they're very well aware of that. 2-year-olds are a Dickens. A 2-year-old is a Dickens. And I love 2-year-olds because they're just full of themselves. They just run around and, you know, they just, and then you tell them, hey, get back over here. And then you just run away and go further. Just, that's 2-year-olds like that. Hey, you stay right here with mom. You get right back here. Don't touch those, you know. And you go into a store and they'll be knocking cans down and stuff like that. You gotta hold on to them. You ever notice that about little kids? They love just doing stuff that they love doing. They don't like stay in the line, the rule, the boundary, the border. They don't like that. So you have to really be on top of kids all the time. Does anybody notice that? And you're just hoping that'll last for the rest of their lives because you only have a few years to get that into them. And you usually have to use spanking sticks to teach them the full lesson on that. Everybody here done that, or you were raised on Dr. Spock that you think you have to understand them? Mom, try to understand me. I had a mom like that. My mom raised me Dr. Spock, so I didn't get spankings. That's why I was wild. Completely wild. You could not stop me. I was unstoppable. Now, I'd fake it and lie and deceive people, but as soon as you weren't looking, I'd just do what I wanted to do. Because, I just loved taking care of myself. I was very good at it. I still am. I could be a sinner so easily. I've kept up. I actually have kept up on my sins. I actually have. I've kept them up. I try to do at least one a day if I can. Is anybody else like me? At least one a day. How many have kept at least one? Oh, glory. Now, here's what Job was getting at. Under the law, all he had was the law of sin and death. Under the law, I have not sinned. Therefore, I don't deserve to die, but I'm asking God to take my life because I can't stand the affliction. I can't stand the pain. I can't stand the sorrow. I have no reason to live. I'm not complaining. I'm just simply saying, God, if you love me, and I know you do, please just take my life. And God was saying no. God was saying no. It's obvious God was saying no. And then he sent these friends around to say, you've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned. People will accuse you no matter what. They don't have to do it to your face. They can do it behind your back. People are always judging you and thinking about you and making a little book on you. Especially people that know you. They have little books. No. And they're giving you a grade all the time. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been in a relationship where somebody was they had a checklist for you. Here's what you ought to be, here's what you are. I'm no good at that. I'm no good at that. Peg always had little lists for me. You're not supposed to do that. Boo. And if she would say not to do it, I would just do it double. you're supposed to be a pastor. I didn't care. If the people see you, you're going to get caught. You know? That's just the way I am. I'm awful. That's awful, awful. You just cannot put me under a rope or a ladder or anything. I'm not going to be tied down. Anybody else like me? You just have that naughty streak in you. This comes out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's good. Well, I have that. That's why I need Jesus so badly. I'm just not good at being good. I'm just not. So Job was, though. I mean, Job and me are opposite. Job always behaved himself externally, I know. It wasn't deep within the heart. But as far as he knew, his heart had not condemned him. He did not know of any sins he had done. He had never gone into the house of the idols. He had never done any immorality. He had never wronged anybody civilly, economically, in any way. Well, Job was righteous. Even God said he was. That's why Elihu has to be wrong, because he doesn't agree with God, and his name means God himself, as though Elihu is speaking for God himself to Job, because Job said, I wish God were down here, and he said, I'm him. I'm not God, but I'm speaking for him. I'll tell you what, you've sinned. you're wrong. Well, that's not what God said. Elihu is wrong. Because God said, Satan, have you beheld my servant Job? A righteous man. Perfect. Unbelievable. So even God disagreed with Elihu. When people accuse you, they're always wrong. I'm going to say something right now. You won't understand it, but learn. I'm sent by God to teach you. When people accuse you, they're always wrong. Do you know why? Because God's not accusing you. Even though they're right, they're wrong. Yes, what they're saying is true, but it's not true. Because God doesn't agree with that. So whenever you accuse some brother, you're really accusing God. You've just gone against God. Elihu is against God. He said he spoke for God, but he didn't. He spoke for himself. He was a speculator, just like the other fellows. He's just speculating. Where was his evidence? Where were his facts? Job wasn't incriminating himself. He was saying the opposite. No, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything wrong. Now, how could he say that? I don't know. I don't know how he could say it. I couldn't say it. But Job did. I believe him. I don't have any problem believing him. It's just he hadn't heard the law. He hadn't seen the sinfulness of sin. He'd just seen regular sin, and he hadn't done it. Outwardly, he hadn't done any sins. Never went into the idol house, never committed adultery, never did anything immoral, and never was unjust to his neighbors. Did the best he could. And God said, he's perfect. This guy's perfect. And he said that of many people in the Bible. But he just meant outwardly. He just meant outwardly, meaning, as far as they know, there's no conscience troubling them or anything else. Job was completely free. He just felt like, you know what? All's right in heaven. I'm right with God, and I don't know why God's attacking me like he is right here. I think it's totally wrong in my case. He shouldn't be doing it. But, you know, I'm not going to question God. I trust him. Yea, though he slay me, yet I will trust God. That's amazing. He said, I don't care if he kills me. I'm still going to trust him. Whoa, that is power. That reason could not come up with that. No, reason did not come up with that. His friends were reasonable. Elihu was a liar. He was the most religious of all of them. Because he knew Abraham too. He knew about El Shaddai. He was even related to Abraham. He was probably a nephew. He was probably related to him. He was a Buzite, related to one of Abraham's brothers. So they were related. So they probably knew all about it. Nevertheless, everything he said was a lie. His speculation was a lie. You have no proof. You're just guessing. You're speculating. How many know that when you speculate, it's something you don't know and you can't prove? You're just speculating. You're just making it up, guessing, imagining something. Well, I don't think she likes me. How do you know? Well, just, you know, the way she is. She never calls me. Well, you're speculating. You don't know what her reasons are. You don't know what, you know, I'll tell you another thing. What right do you have to play God? Who could judge Job's heart and soul but God? Are these human judges really capable, competent to judge such matters of the heart and of the soul? I don't know. I don't mind if somebody says, you ran over the child. Well, that's a fact, or it's not. But to say, tell me what my motives are, you can only guess those. You don't really know. You can't read into my heart and into my mind. Only God can do that. Job is accusing God. You don't know that. What evidence do you have? What proof? Where are the witnesses? How do you know? So Job, and in the end of the book, Job is vindicated by God. But I'm just going to tell you something along the way. He has all these problems going against him, just like you do. In your life, there are problems. There are troubles. And people are accusing you. I wonder what she did wrong. I think I know what it is. She talks too much. I think that's the whole point of her problem. What is it? A guess? How do you know that? Well, I've just heard her yakking all the time. That's what I feel her problem is. Is there anybody here who has that problem? I might have hit on somebody. Did I? Okay. Praise God. You're not a yakker. Are you a yakker? Yeah, talk a lot at home. How old are you? Eight. You're already a yakker at eight. You don't have to be very old to know you got a few naughty traits. But you know what? I have no right to accuse anybody. I don't have a right. Unless there's solid evidence that's universally agreed to and good witnesses to attest to it, then I can make the accusation, but in the end, only God knows. And when it's a matter of the heart, only God knows. He'll not let another judge judge me. You have no right to judge someone else. Just judge yourself. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Don't judge other people. Just judge yourself. Why are we so interested in other people rather than ourselves? The only one I can take care of is me. I really can't take care of you. I really don't want to. I'm not even interested in you. The only reason I would ever judge you is so I could be distracted from myself. I would say, oh my God, that person is really a mess. I'm just a little mess, but they're a big M mess. And I'll do that just to keep the weight off of me. You know what I'm saying? So whenever people point the finger at you, they're pointing three fingers back at themselves. You don't know anybody else. Only God knows. But here's God's judgment. I like Job. He's my boy. I call him perfect. If you're perfect in the eyes of God, who cares what people say? Who cares what human courts say? Besides, this is not double parking. This is not as though they had evidence and proof. This is just pure speculation. They're speculating about the man's, just because of some outward, what they call circumstantial evidence, they've made a conclusion in law. But circumstantial evidence is very weak. Where is the firsthand eyewitness? Where is the facts? Prove up your point. No, they've just speculated. Well, if Job were righteous and God is just, then how come he's getting it? Those circumstances prove that he must be guilty. They don't prove anything. You got to check with God. Reason doesn't know that. Conscience doesn't know that. Only God knows what God thinks. Only God knows what God judges. How many of you know that God loves you just the way you are? Unfixed. Not cleaned up. Not because you're, halfway there or some kind of thing. He just loves you the way you are. How many know? I mean, you're certain. Certain. I know God loves me. I just know it. Not because I'm any good, but because he's good. I'm not good. He's good. I don't have to be good. God just loves me because I'm his boy. He just wants me to be his boy. He wants me to be in the family. Do I have to go? I'm always getting in trouble because of time. It's getting warmed up, too. It's just about to nail you. Get it good. If you're loved by God, there's no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. God, in Jesus Christ, God has covered everybody. The worst scoundrel. The worst scoundrel on earth. God would forgive him. You wouldn't, but he would. Because you're not a judge. You're just judging by outward appearance. Jesus said, don't judge by outward appearance. Judge with right judgment. What is right judgment? I'll tell you, it's the judgment of God. Any agreement any judgment that agrees with God, that's a right judgment. And you know what? Here's my judgment. You're beautiful in the sight of God. That's a good judgment. You're righteous in the sight of God. You're innocent and pure in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus and you're reliant. You know, I love that. Makes me feel better. You see, people accuse one another all the time. They're always trying to justify themselves and, accuse others and excuse themselves and so on. But it's okay. Who cares about all that psychological nonsense? I'm not into psychology at all. Psychology is witchcraft. Was I clear? Did everybody hear what I said? Don't ever go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a social worker or whatever. You don't need all that hogwash. Did you know that they didn't even have those in Jesus' day? If they did, they were called Pharisees. They don't have those. You don't need psychology. You say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? That's a whole profession. Well, it's a satanic one. Did you hear what I just said? Well, maybe you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, maybe I do. I agree with the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. I'll just eliminate psychology just in 1 second so that nobody goes to college and studies it. Nobody ever pays $125 or $200 an hour to have some psychiatrist, psychologist, or social worker analyze your stuff. We regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Did you hear what I just said? Psychology is a human point of view. It has nothing to do with God. No psychiatrist or psychologist ever says, let's pray. They would lose their job. They don't even refer to God, because that's what pastors do. Whenever people come to me for counseling, I'm not going to psychologize them, look into their inner stuff. I'm just going to tell them the word of the Lord. Here's the word of the Lord. Did you know that Jesus loves you? That's great counsel. Yes, she's committed adultery. Forgive her. See, that's better than some psychiatrist spending months getting at it. Let's get at it in a second. Did you ever commit adultery? Yes. Okay, you're forgiven. Forgive him. That's it. Did you see how fast I did that? You don't have to get paid a lot for that. Let's quote the Bible. Well, forgive her. Well, he surfs the internet. Well, good. Forgive him. Hello? Well, couldn't we get at that? Really? I don't think so. I don't think you can change people. I don't think you can change yourself. I don't think knowing helps. I think only God can change a person. I think people's problems is not their problems. Problems are only symptoms. I think the real problem is not a problem at all. That the real thing behind everything is whether you know God or not. Did you know how much God loves you? Forget all the things you've thought and said and done. It's not interesting to me at all. I don't care if you've murdered. I don't care if you've committed adultery. I don't care if you hate people. I don't care if you're friendly. I don't care at all. Why? Because God doesn't. He already had Jesus die on the cross for all that. Why bring it up? That's double jeopardy. Let's not bring it up. What a waste of time to eat of that tree. Let's eat of another tree, the tree of life. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I like that. That's a freebie right there. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, I like that one too. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I like that one too. I just love it. Why wouldn't I love him? Look at all he's done for me. What's he required of me? Everything he required of me, he forgave. And then he did it for me on the cross. Jesus lived a perfect life for me. He didn't live it for himself. He lived it for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I need him. Now, if anybody on earth needs him, it's me. I absolutely need him. Now, I'm saying that so you'll say that. Pastor, I'm as bad as you are or worse. I doubt it, but it's okay. I'm okay that you're even with me. It's you're not worse. I'm not going to let you be worse. I'm going to be the worst. You know why? She that hath been forgiven much, which means you have to sin much, loveth much. Well, so the secret to love is how much sin has been forgiven. So if you haven't sinned much, you're not going to love much, because you can't be forgiven much. But I've sinned a lot, so I'm forgiven a lot. And that's why I love him a lot. Did you see that? Was that not good or what? That should change your life. Instead of hiding, you know, pretending and playing games, which is fine if you want to do it. But it's not realistic. At least with God, be true. At least with God, be honest. God, you know what? I only care about myself. I've never cared about anybody else, ever. I pretended. I pretended and I faked. I don't really care about anybody but myself. I'm all I care about. But this is all right. You love me the way I am. You don't love me fixed up. You don't want me to even change. You don't even want me to clean up. You don't even want me to say I'm sorry. Did you know even saying you're sorry is a trick? I'll say I'm sorry, see if he likes that. You don't have to do that. Look, let Jesus do it all. Jesus will do it all. He'll fix it up. I don't ever try to change people. Peggy can tell you, I've never tried to change her. I don't want to change her. I want her to be wicked. Do y'all see that? I love it when she's wicked. Because then she's just like me. We're even. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I don't want you to be good people. I want God to be good. Why? Because only God is good. And none is good but God. There isn't anybody that's good and never will be, ever. If anything good comes out of you, it was God living in you. God doing it for you. God doing it through you. It was God. Give God the glory. You're still thinking you're the little engine that could. If you just try hard, I'm going to try. I don't think so. So don't ever accuse Job. Don't ever accuse anybody. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I have a Goel. I have someone that lives, and he's alive. You know what? On the latter day, on the last day, Job was going to die right then. But on the last day, he'll stand upon the earth. He'll get up on the whole earth, and he'll declare, Julia, perfectly righteous. Raul, perfectly right. Oh, what a, look at that, angels, look at him. And he'll be going around. I know he's going to include me. And if he doesn't, would some of you say it to him? Don't forget Jim. You know, I just don't want to be excluded. If you could just put in a good word there. Amen. The best is yet to come. How many believe God is good? It's nothing to do with Job. It has to do with God. It's nothing to do with Job. It has to do with God. It doesn't matter if he's innocent or he's not innocent. God said he was. So I don't care why he is. Maybe it's, you know, imputed righteousness. Maybe it's actual. Who cares? Who cares? The main thing is Job felt God was good and that he could trust him. He said, even if you kill me, Qatar. Even if you kill me, Qatar. Q-E-T-A-R. Qatar in the Hebrew. It means kill. Even though thou slayest me, yet. I mean, even if I'm dead, yet, I don't care. I'll still trust you. That's faith. That is not reason. That is not just conscience. Now, what kind of conscience do you have this morning? Does your conscience condemn you? You know what? I don't even care what your conscience says. Here's the deal. What's the Word of God say? What does God Himself say? The real Elihu. What does he say? Job, my precious, my beloved. Do you know that you're precious and beloved of God? Not because of what you've said, not because of what you thought, not because of what you've done, not because of you at all. It's just because God looks upon you. He favors you. He brings you into his house. He gathers you together with other hypocrite people. Amen? It's okay. That's all right. Don't be judging other hypocrites. They're all here. You don't have to worry about that. But in God's sight, you're not. Because God said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. I'll finish it. If I start something, I'll finish it. He's not like me. I'll start something and never finish. That's one of the fears in my life is I'm going to write 11 volumes. I did one. And I've never read it since I did it, so I don't even know if it's any good. But I'm afraid I'm never going to write those. I just keep studying and praying, and I think one of these days I'm going to write it, but I never do. And that's a kind of a fear is, I'll bet I'll drop dead before I ever do. And they would have been great books. It would have been so great. And I'm not going to get them done because I start stuff and I don't finish. I start out and then I get distracted along the way. One thing that really bothers me is a lot of you call me, stop it. Leave me alone. I'm trying to write these volumes. Anybody can preach sermons. Anybody can do my job. Just preach the word of the Lord. But then, maybe God wants me to do it. Maybe he doesn't want me to write volumes. Maybe I'm just wasting my time. You know what? Reason can't figure it out. Neither can conscience. Here's one thing I know for sure. Jesus loves me. That's one thing I know. Jesus loves me. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel, loves me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that on the last day he will stand upon the earth. He will declare my vindication to all the world. Even if he slays me, I will yet trust in him. I know he's on my side. I know God is good. I know that he'll redeem me. He'll deliver me. from all my foes. I'll tell you, if you have that kind of confidence, you're just like Job. Do you have it? Does everybody here have it? Oh, I wish we could go through each person. You could say, you know, Pastor, I'm just like you. I have that kind of confidence. I know that God loves me, not because I'm any good, but because he's good. I know that. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. I know it. Who? Is there anybody here? Maybe we just raise hands in general. Okay, I almost know it. How about the almost knows? I almost know it, Pastor. I don't know it for absolute certain, but almost. I'm getting to know it. I absolutely know it. How many? Woo. That's freedom. Because I know some of you that raised your hand, I just caught a glimpse of you and I thought, that person is a sinner. I just thought that. That person has sinned. I saw it. That's what gives me hope. If God can love sinners, he could probably love anybody. Amen? I mean, if he would go to all that trouble just to say, I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for the sinner. Gee willikers. What about the righteous? Well, you know why God came? To turn the sinner into the righteous. You can't do that with your reason. You can't do that with your conscience. You can't do that with your natural strength. You're not a judge of those things. You don't have any power. But God does. And not only that, he's made it known to us. He's revealed that to us. Something you couldn't have known. It had to be revealed. It had to be told to you. And I'm declaring it today. You have a redeemer. A Goel. A Goel. One who totally loves you. And wants you to know how pleased he is with you. Just say it. God, thank you for being pleased with me. I'm actually pleased with myself. No, I'm not talking about my works. I'm talking about myself. How many know that there's a self behind the works? You see, the works may be bad, but the self is good. And if you make a good tree, you'll eventually get some good works. But when they come out, don't think it was you. You didn't make yourself good, so you didn't make the fruit good. He did both. To God be the glory. You see, it's all God. He gets all the glory. You're not going to get any glory that you earned. All the glory is going to be given to you for free. I'm going to be an unworthy person that takes all his glory, and I never did deserve it. I cheated to get it because I didn't do what you're supposed to do, but he did. And I believed him, and that's all God said. I'm going to count that as righteous. You believe that I was good for you? I'll count that as righteous. Whoa, just from believing? I didn't even believe. I didn't believe I could do it. I believed you could do it. He said, I count that as righteous. That's what I've always been looking for, right there. When God sends you through trials and troubles, what's his point? Why does he do it? Why would he do it to his righteous ones? Why? Because that develops your character. That draws you close to God. When everything's going bad like that and the devil's attacking you, God is up there unconcerned. He's not even concerned. He's not even worried. Because he knows it's not up to you. He knows you'll fall apart. Do you ever get into a trial and then fall apart? My God, I can't stand it. Not one more minute. That's what the trial was for. It wasn't, I stood through the trial. You know, it's not that. That's not you. You don't stand through any trial. Every trial's too big. It's fire. It's affliction. It's heavy. You know what? You can't take a trial. The smallest trial makes you tremble. But God isn't trying you. He's trying himself. He's not trying you. You're not the one on trial. He is. He's the one that made the promise. I will perfect that which I have an interest in. Well, God's interested in you. All you need to know is since he's good and since he's interested in you, you'll be fine. Do y'all know that why he's sending you through the trial and the test right now? That's because he loves you. That's because he's perfecting you. You're being perfected even while you're not seeing your perfection because you can't perfect yourself. You can't any more than children can. Children can't perfect themselves. Johnny, you stop that. Well, he can stop it outwardly, but he can't stop it inwardly. I want you to love your sister right now. They can't. You say you're sorry. Well, they can do that. I'm sorry. But they don't mean it. They're just saying it so they don't get whipped. They don't want to say it. I want to poke that person. Get them. Amen? So don't try to remake yourself. You can't do it. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. Get used to gifts. Well, I hope you're blessed today. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Your life isn't in your own hands. It's hid with God in Christ. Your life is hid with God. It's not even here. Did you know that your life isn't even here? Do you know where your life is? It's with Christ. When He died and then rose again, you died and rose again. That's your life. Your life is Him. It's in Him. It's not even here. You're not even doing anything. Get your eyes off of this tree. Get your eyes on another tree, the tree of life. That tree's up in heaven. That's where your life is. Safe, secure, above the fray. Nothing can happen to it. Don't worry about Al-Qaeda. Don't worry about nitrogen bombs or whatever they are. Neutron, nitrogen, you know, whatever they are. Don't worry about all that stuff. You know why? I mean, it's not going to happen that way. God's already told how it's going to happen. You have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. God is good. God's in control of everything. We're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid. Say it, I'm not afraid. I fear nothing. I fear the Lord. Therefore, I don't fear anything else. I respect the Lord. Therefore, I'm not worried about people. I don't care what people think of me. You slowed down there. I don't care what people think of me. What people think of me doesn't matter to me at all. Good. Very good. That's good. You're free. You're free. You can get outside the lines now. Because Jesus, who always stayed within the lines, did it for you. Just like mom. She knows how to stay in the lines, but the little baby doesn't. So your hand, just let your hand stop. You hold the crayon, but mom will guide it around and stay within the lines. Because if you let your hand go, you'll be like that. But if mom guides your hand, you just surrender to Jesus. Surrender to mom. We're going to be with our grandkids right after we get back from Israel. 7 of them. And I remember when they were little, mom made me go and see them. And, you know, this same now. You want to go see the grandkids? No. I mean, after a couple minutes, I'm done. Okay, just get a photograph, put it up. We have videos now, too, so you can see how they're growing and everything. Anyway, but I remember when they would go shopping or something and leave me at home with the little kids, that we would go out and collect leaves and stuff and then paste them on a piece of paper, you know, and then color within and write their names. But I always had to guide their hands. See? And then when mom came home or, you know, everybody came home, we'd put it up on the refrigerator. The little kid would say these words. Look at the picture I made. Grandpa Jim made that picture. But you see, they took the credit as though it were their own, which is exactly what I wanted. They took ownership of that because they know their hand did something. They put some paste on or something. Right? Little kids love that kind of thing. Except you become as a little child. You shall not enter the kingdom of God. Just surrender. Let your hand go limp. Let God do all the guiding and leading. You're in a dance. Let Him dance. You know, don't try to lead or guide because you don't know how to go. You don't know how to avoid all the troubles in life. But He knows how just to turn around in such a way that nothing ever happens. God is so perfect, but you have to relax. If you try to lead, if you try to guide, you won't make it. Just follow Him. Follow me, Jesus said. Come, follow me. He's leading you in a beautiful dance, and you don't know the steps. You don't know where to go. You don't know how not to bump into things. But He does. He's never yet failed. You just relax. Amen? Amen. Who is blessed today? I have one testimony, two testimonies. One or two testimonies, and I'll go. Yes?
A couple of weeks ago, I was here, and I testified there was a verse that we sang, and it was the battle belongs to the Lord.
Mm.
And I said, wow, you know, I've been having issues at work, and some of my folks and my boss and I said, wow, you know, why do I always want to take care of things myself or get involved? I just need to let go. Well, the very next day, God was preparing me for the very next day, my boss was trying to blame me for some things that she was getting in trouble for. And the other people impacted were the ones that I had gotten that morning before she talked to me. I'd gone and told them about this, about, you know, the Babylon to the Lord, you know. And so we all just kind of thought, wow, isn't it amazing that you have a father that would, you know, that would speak to you and that would prepare you for something like that. So we were all just very calm about it and just, you know, accepted it and went forward and kind of said, now it's his deal. He's going to have to figure all of this out. And so he said, well, oh my gosh, do you need an attorney or anything? He said, he's our counselor. And God spoke to him and said, yeah, I'm your attorney. I'm your counselor.
Amen. Yep.
You know, things were okay for a few days, and then, you know, every day going to work and facing it, I kind of got a little uncomfortable. I said, God, why am I feeling funny? Why is it like today, you know, am I feeling heavy? Mm-hmm. And he says, because you're trying to do something again, you know, you're getting involved again. But you just set it free. I've got to give it to me.
Wow.
I got it. You know, I put you here. You know, you just, I want you to sing and dance. It's been amazing.
Amen. It's powerful. It's powerful.
And yeah, it's amazing how much we have to let go just to get what he wants for us the best. Like, I'm planning to move to New York with my brother Paul next summer. And I've been doing the research and trying to save money. And all of my efforts are for nothing because I can't get up. But what I'm realizing is that God has put it in my heart to go. And that means that it's okay. I can let go because when the time comes around, the money's going to be there, the apartment's going to be there, the efforts will come to fruition, but I have to keep it also alive and active in my heart. And I also have to speak whenever people are saying, what are you doing? I'm moving to New York. I have to keep saying it.
I have
to keep the faith. I have to remind myself and remind God of the promise he's given.
Yeah.
Because God is great and greatly to be praised, but we have to keep reminding him
because
it has to be inactive in our minds.
It's good.
And the faith just has to be there.
Powerful. Amen. Good. Good testimony. Yeah?
You have time? Ditto with hers. Same thing with boss and all that. And she sent me an email, and I responded, this is what you've done, not knowing that when I did that email was going to go through the whole building because it had been put on a different, it had been put not to go to the printer, but to go to all the printers in another school where I'm at in the evenings. And we had a 3-hour discussion and she was livid because the truth came out. And when I walked in there and I said, I don't need this job. I don't care. I don't care who knows. I don't care what happens. I said, so what? And she said, but everybody, my boss. And all this on her. I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. You want to believe lies? You believe lies. You want to believe in truth? You believe in truth. But this job is not more important to me than my integrity, than the truth in me, you know. And she's walking on eggshells, and I'm still going through the fire right now. But you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience to not be afraid that I might lose this job, that I might lose this position. It was wonderful to know that, like Job, I didn't do anything wrong, and all I had to do was just hold on to God.
Yeah. It's good. It's powerful. Raul?
I really love this. I was really blessed by this message. Because I'm a real big reason person. I'm always arguing, counter-arguing inside my mind. And God had said, had wanted me to talk to a particular person. And I kept on saying, well, how am I going to argue this point for God? And I went through all the arguments and all the counter-arguments. And I was like, oh, great. Go through all that trouble, and that's all you're
going to do. It's good. It's powerful. It's powerful. We're hitting right on it. It's good. Yeah. Yeah, you can talk to God all day long.
But I mean, but the word he does.
Now, the reason it's a joke. What he's saying is, come on, you have an argument, reason with me, and you will come out on the wrong side. In other words, just bring your case. She's guilty. I'm innocent. You know, that's a different deal. So what God is saying is, come, let's reason together. You want to reason in a courtroom? I'll be the one that'll reason with you. So what he's saying is, you know, if you have a good point, I always do this in my prayers. Every day I do this in my prayers. If I'm mad at God, I just tell him. I don't hide it. Let's come out and reason with him. Now, God, you see, if I were God, I would have done a better job than you just did. I just reason with him. Just let me be God for just, I'll tell you, just give me an hour. I'll fix everything up the way I want it, then I'll turn it back to you. And you cannot win when you're reasoning with God. Because there are things that reason doesn't know or comprehend. But when you're done reasoning with God, he will unfold something, a revelation, and all of a sudden it's over. You realize, wow, I have nothing to say. It's exactly what Job is doing in this book, by the way. Yeah.
I've never experienced that. It was like, awesome. I mean, I don't know how to. I mean, this is the best I can explain it. I mean, it was just awesome that he is telling me, I love you.
It's powerful.
Don't worry about it. I'm here with you. I'm holding you.
It's powerful. Yep.
It was just like a dad.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like my
perfect. 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 You're the best. Yes, Sally. That's the reason, right there. Which it takes a revelation to be reasonable. See, there's nothing wrong with your mind, but you have to take every thought captive to the Word of God. So it isn't your mind, it's an unaided mind. So there's a difference between reason, which is aided, and reason, which is not aided. When your reason comes under the Bible, it's exact. When your reason is on your own, it's out of order. So don't speculate, don't dream, don't imagine. All right, God is good. Love y'all.